I do recommend the book, Heaven by Randy Alcorn. You can get it on Audible. You can get it at the library for free on Hoopla. You can buy it. You can get an e-book, all kinds of different ways. It's a tremendous book. It'll stretch your thinking about heaven. But it'll give you a glimpse of heaven. Revelation 21, let's read a couple verses. I'm going to go ahead, unless I push through this, this is going to be a two-parter, all right? Maybe three. My Bible program says 32 minutes. So just in case, that's usually 90 minutes. So, but we'll see. Plus, it's taking me a little while to get rolling because of Amber's song. Thank you, Amber. You got my head all clogged up again. I can't, my eyes are blurry. I can't even see my Bible right now. So, I'm thinking of his life for mine. We're so unworthy of that. People mock it. They make fun of Christianity until a loved one dies. And all of a sudden it's real. I wonder if God's using all of this to grab people's attention. I hope it grabs it. I hope they're listening. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The Apostle John has been transported into the very heaven of heavens. He'd been banished to the Isle of Patmos. They couldn't kill him. He was the last of the living apostles. They tried everything. They boiled him in oil. And he survived. Just unbelievable. God's protection. They tried everything. Finally, they said, you know what? We've got to get this guy away. His testimony is too powerful. It's drawing too many people to Jesus. So they banished him to the Isle of Patmos and said, you live there until you die. On that island, he received a vision. And the book of the Revelation was given to him in one single day. That's amazing. But here toward the end, this is the same Apostle John that leaned on the bosom of Christ. This is the same Apostle John that went with Peter into the temple following after Jesus. This is the same Apostle John that whenever Jesus was hanging on the cross, he told John to take care of his mother. John wrote the book of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. He's an older man. He's been through the fire. Literally been through the fires. And he writes, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. Wow. Wow. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Boy, what a verse. What a truth. What a promise. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And amen and amen. And verse number 5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I like that. It is done. It is accomplished. It is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm reminded of John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John is getting a glimpse into the future. He's getting a glimpse into the place that we call heaven. There are so many misconceptions, so many misunderstandings about heaven. There's much that we don't know about it, but there's much that we do know about it. In Randy Alcorn's book, and in other books that I've read through the years, one of the premises that they put forth about heaven that we must understand is this: the state of heaven, how it is right now, will change. Heaven is something that we talk about as being out there. But my friend, if you read the book of the Revelation and you see the new heaven and the new earth and all that's created, New Jerusalem coming down, heaven is not out there. Heaven is right here. And we're going to dwell in there. We're going to live in there. This creation is going to go back to what it was in the beginning. And man is going to live there without sin, without all the things that we battle today. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. But I'm reading about that. I'm getting a glimpse of it here in this chapter. If you were to think about the three different, I call it states, but it could actually be stages of heaven. You go back in time a little bit, and heaven was referred to as paradise. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus was in paradise. Well, at one point, paradise is where the saints of God dwelt until the resurrection of Jesus. And then at the resurrection of Christ, he went and got those saints, and he took them to where we call heaven today. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God always knows where his people are at. We got them. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." But what we have today in the day and time in which we live would be, I guess maybe a good phrase would be, the intermediate heaven. I put these things in your notes today so that you have it. This is where the saints of God go today, and they'll remain there until the second coming. And then all Christians will dwell on earth for the millennial kingdom. You read all those things together. Randy Alcorn writes, "The temporary nature of the present heaven, when a Christian dies, he or she enters into what is referred to in theology as an intermediate state." This is kind of a transitional period. Our loved ones go and see other loved ones in a place that we call heaven, but that's not the final destination for all of us. Usually when we refer to heaven, by the way, Randy Alcorn said this, and I have to agree. He said, usually the greatest depictions of heaven are found in children's books. He said, because children's books elaborate on it, and they paint these beautiful pictures and all to help the children understand. And then when we get to the adult books, they want to put it in language and all that we can't understand. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we need to go back to the little ones' understanding. And those pictures you see, how many of you have ever seen pictures of heaven in children's books before? You know, can I tell you something? Those things aren't that far off. It'd be a glorious place. But the intermediate, where the loved ones are at today, that's not the final destination, because we see here in this passage something happening, something's changing. As we see this, we begin to see what we'll call the future heaven. Three stages, if you will. This is God's dwelling place. This is where the throne is at. But one day, this will be on the new earth. I love what it says. Jump on down with verse number 10 of chapter 21. And it says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem." Notice the next little couple of words. "Descending out of heaven from God." Where does it go? Where does this new Jerusalem go? It comes here. Glorified believers, in other words, will continue to be in heaven while we're inhabiting the new earth. Rather than our going up to live in God's home forever, God will come down to live in our home forever. Simply put, the present heaven is up there, but the future heaven will be down here. Whenever you get that thinking right, it'll change a lot of things in your life. It'll help a lot of things in the Word of God to click so that you can understand. When we fail to see these distinctions, we fail to understand God's plan, we fail to look at the Bible as God would want us to. Heaven will be relocated to earth. Not only will God come to dwell with us on earth, but He'll also bring with Him the New Jerusalem. By the way, the New Jerusalem is being prepared today. We'll talk about that before this message is over with. An entire city of people, structures, streets, walls, rivers, and trees that are now present in that intermediate heaven, but one day they'll be here. Don't think for a moment that heaven is some place that you're going to float on a cloud and play a harp. I don't want to float on a cloud, nor do I want to play a harp. I remember telling him, that's good, isn't it? I remember telling my preacher one time, I came to him as a young Christian, and I said, "Preacher, I hate to say this, but you're going to think I'm a heathen." He said, "Hobson, I already think you're a heathen." He said, "There's not much else that can explain you." And I said, "But preacher, if heaven is about floating on a cloud and playing a harp, I don't want to go there. It really has no appeal to me." Because honestly, it just doesn't. I don't want to sit around all day long. I know some people, they would be perfectly grateful to do that. I may want to do that for the first 4,000 or 5,000 years. But after that, I want to get up and do something. And my preacher looked at me and he said, "Hobson," he said, "heaven's not going to be like that." He said, "Have you ever read your Bible?" Well, of course. He said, "Read it again." And he gave me a book and he gave me some passages to read. And I thought, it really helped me a lot. But what it explained is this. In heaven, it'll be heaven for so many reasons. The greatest reason, of course, is because God will be there. We'll meet Jesus face to face and we'll see the one that gave His life for mine. We'll see our loved ones there. We'll recognize it. We will meet some of the great, what we will call heroes of the faith. Some of them, their names have been written and have been well known, but there'll be others that all of a sudden we'll know about them, and they labored in the unknown realm on this earth. But in heaven, we'll know exactly who they are and what they did for the cause of Christ. But also in heaven, you and I will finally live out the life that God created us to live. Everything in heaven, our gifts that God has given us, will perfectly click with everything. Heaven is a wonderful place now and then. It's going to be awesome. But if you think about the New Jerusalem coming down, you think about, have you ever seen pictures of a, or maybe you were a part of seeing somebody move an old house to another location? Have you ever seen that before? That's a big deal, isn't it? And they had to work on it and all the things, close down the roads, move power lines, all of those things. I've seen it before. And I watched as guys begin the process of it, and as they moved it and they set it down, I thought, wow, all of that work just to move that building. Now think about it. God's going to relocate the New Jerusalem. That's going to be an incredible picture. And that's what John is describing. Just to give you a little idea in case you don't know, this New Jerusalem, the dimensions of it are not measured in feet. They're measured in miles. It's between 1,400 and 1,500 miles wide, deep, and apparently tall. Three thoughts today. Number one, Amber, I don't know where we're at in there. I gave Amber a bunch of notes or a bunch of slides, and she always tells me, "Dad, I can do it if you will follow your notes." So I'm trying. Number one, heaven/New Jerusalem is a genuine, or growing up in my household, we pronounced it like this, genuine place. Whenever you said genuine, that meant very real, all right? Not just genuine, but genuine, that's not wine you drink, all right? I got an email this morning, as a matter of fact. Hoosier Brewery is now making hand sanitizer for churches. And I'm looking at it, and it said, this is not a depiction of the actual label. And then one of the comments on there, this lady wrote, she said, "We love this hand sanitizer. You can barely smell the tequila smell in it." I'm thinking, I don't want to get that because I'm afraid some will drink it. Squirt, squirt, drink, drink. No. All right. Genuine is not a reference to wine, all right? Genuine. It's a real place. You got to get a hold of this. Heaven is not some spiritual entity way out there forever. It is now. But one day, it's going to be as real as this pulpit here. It's going to be very real. It's got streets. It has rivers. It has trees. It has buildings. Can I tell you something? That's a real place. And it's made by God for you and I. And we're getting a glimpse of it here. It's a real place. Look back, if you will. Verse number 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. All this sin and all this wretchedness and all the devils tried to destroy, all the weeds and all the thorns and all the hatred and all of that is destroyed." And God says, "We're going to start again. We're going to take care of the place, but we're going to keep the people." I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not a place. I'm glad I'm a person. He said, "I saw this and there's no more sea." And I, John, it's not John's writing that for you and I. I believe John's writing that for him. And John says, "I, John, saw this." It's like, it's genuine. He's like, "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" It's a real place. Heaven is real as the place that we're in today. It is a real place. The Apostle Paul was taken. I have in your notes, 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." He says, "I knew somebody." He's talking about himself. "Whether in body, I cannot tell. Whether out of body, I cannot tell. But God knows." He says that such a one was called up to the third heaven, "And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of body, I cannot tell. God knows." He's struggling with this. Apparently, the glimpse of it was so awesome that he doesn't even know how to describe it. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, "I've been there, but I don't know how to describe it to you," except for Chan McMillan used to say, "Wow." That's it. Just wow. John was taken there. Paul was taken there. That heavenly land is as real as New York or Los Angeles or Tokyo or Trafalgar or Morgantown. Just as real as all of those. It's a real place. Now get this. Write this down somewhere. You ready? This is great. I didn't make this up. I read this. That's the reason why I can say it's great. It is a real place for a real God. It is a real place for a real God. Not a false, not a fake, not an imaginary. It is a real place where a real God lives, who will be joined one day with those who are really saved. Heaven is a real place. It's genuine. Not only is it a real place, but it's a place of rest. Letter B in your notes. It's a resting place. Resting place. How many of you get tired and weary? Boy, I hate this old world. I really do. I hate so much about it. The weariness of life sometimes. The struggle. We, during this whole thing, since we've been having church, we have a time of prayer at 10 o'clock, and you're welcome to come. And we just pray. Let's pray for the service, pray for God to do things. But until we start Sunday school back up, you're welcome to come 10 o'clock. We'll just be right in here. You say, well, what do we do after that? Well, you can fellowship. That's fine. But I was sharing with them this morning that I'm right on the verge of a what we call a flare with my multiple sclerosis. My body's acting up. It's sending electrical charges to my feet and my hands. And I have burning sensations in my feet. And I'm right there at it. And I ask them to pray for me. But what brings that about is stress, being overwhelmed sometimes, being that not enough rest. Heaven is a place of rest. Not just physical rest where you can say, oh, I'm just going to take a nap. No, it's going to be a rest from the burden that we carry. And all God's people said, man, because finally, we're going to be able to take that burden off and say, wow, I don't have to deal with sin anymore. I can set me off. I can set my flesh and say, I don't have to worry about that struggle anymore. It's a resting place. The Bible tells us that we're pilgrims and strangers in this world right now. When we enter to the gates of that city, we have laid down the burdens of this life and we've gone to a place of peace and rest, a perfect place where burdens cannot follow and troubles cannot come. When we get there, you ready? We'll be home. We'll be home. It is a place to rest from our labors, from our cares, our worries, our trials, and everything that hindered us or hinders us here will not be welcome. No shirt, no shoes, no service. No sin, no worry, no fear. Amen. Just not going to happen. We will finally get to rest when we get home. The Bible talks about in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, talking about those great heroes of the faith. And beginning in verse number 13, it says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Sometimes people think that because they're Christians, that they're never going to have any problems. And I'll tell you something. Christians have the same problems that lost people have. Why? Because we live in the same world. Now we have a different hope. We have a different strength. That doesn't mean that we're not going to face those problems. These great heroes of the faith that God recorded in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, He said they didn't receive the promises. But having seen them afar off, a glimpse, if you will, seen them afar off and were, what's the word there? Ready? And were what? Persuaded of them. You know what it means? They believed. They trusted. And then the next phrase comes right along with it. And embraced them. Christian friend, you read the Word of God, and you see those promises in there, ask God to help you believe them, ask God to help you trust them, and then you grab a hold of them and you live them. They'll change your life. Embrace them. And they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they've been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know what it says? It says, if they would have kept thinking about where they came from, there's a good opportunity, a good chance they would have gone back there. But my friend, you know what? They didn't look back. They were looking forward. That's a perfect picture of the Christian life. But now they desire a better country. That is in heaven. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. It's a place of rest. Letter C in your notes. It's a residing place. A residing place. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles. John chapter 14. John 14. It's in your notes, I know that, but John chapter 14. Use your Bibles a little bit. John 14. If I haven't said this in a while, let me say this again. Tablet Bibles are great, and if you've got a tablet or you've got a phone, you got it, you use that. But every household, you make sure, not every household, every Christian ought to have a Bible printed. Ought to have this book right here. And you say, why do you say that? The reason why is because this right here can be deleted. You can accidentally delete your Bible on your tablet, or Apple or one of them will have an update, and guess what? They decide that, you know what? The Bible doesn't go along with what we think our society ought to be. And they'll remove it. You say, well, that'll never happen. Oh, really? Amen? Who would have ever thought that a lot of the things that we're going through right now would have ever happened? You give a lot of those little petty tyrants an inch and they'll take a mile. Okay, that's your free political part. Heaven is a residing place. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 14 comes right after John chapter what? 13, right? What did Jesus say at the end of John chapter 13? He said, hey, one of you guys are going to deny me. He just told those disciples that their leader, their outspoken leader, was going to deny Jesus. How many of you think with me that those disciples were a little heavy-hearted right now? Well, they were like, what? Jesus cares. He looks at those disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's got a lot on his mind right now. He's got a lot on his plate, if you will. But here's what he says. Men, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Think about the hearts that these words are falling. These men were struggling in their faith. They were struggling in their walk. Jesus had been telling them, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to give up my life. And their world is being shattered. And on top of that, hey, in the midst of all this, Peter's going to deny me. And it's not written here in the Bible. I don't know if Jesus told these other fellows, but I got an idea they were thinking, if Peter denies him, what am I going to do? Well, they all ran. They forsook him and fled. I don't know if Jesus told them ahead of time or if their hearts did, but I'm telling you, this is a heavy scene right here. This is a heart-rending scene. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But watch that next phrase. That where I am, there's that great I am again. Amen. You know what he's saying? I'm God. That where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a place where there are some beings already make their home there. We know angels live there. We know the saints that have gone on before us live there. That's great. But God lives there. That's where God is at. When we arrive, there will be a home prepared for us. And we will be forever home. Heaven is a genuine, real place. It's a resting place. It's a place where the saints of God will live forever and ever and ever and ever. You and I were not created for this life. We were created for eternity. Whenever God formed you in the womb, His desire was that you would go to heaven whenever you die. His desire was that through this life you would learn to trust Him, you'd learn to believe in Him, you'd learn to live for Him, but at the end of it, that you would die and you'd go to heaven. You know why? Because He prepared a mansion, a place for you. Hell was never designed for people. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not fit dwelling for people. But sadly, there'll be millions there, billions probably, because they've rejected Jesus Christ. A glimpse of heaven ought to impact our prayer life, our Bible reading time, our worship. A glimpse of heaven also ought to impact our witness. What are you going to do? We got a glimpse of it today. We got a glimpse of it whenever Amber sang. It tugged our hearts. We got a glimpse of it as we open up the Word of God and we begin to read those powerful words. God gives us a glimpse so that we can live for His glory. What are we going to do this week? Is there sin in your life this morning or something? Maybe just today's that day you just say, you know what, I'm done. Maybe, as we prayed earlier today, your heart's just not tender. You allowed some pride to creep in. My goodness. All the time, I'm praying. And I ask God, God, what's between you and I? What's come in there? And almost immediately, the answer is more than likely pride. Confess that, realize it, recognize it. And you know what? I repent of it, and God forgives me. Forgive you too. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. Don't you want to be closer to Him? Do you have a loved one? Do you have a friend that they're not going there? How's your prayer life going? If your prayers were the only thing that would keep that loved one out of hell, how should we be praying? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. A glimpse of heaven. Oh, God help us today. Here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to sing a song of invitation. We're going to invite you to examine your heart and your walk with God. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe right there in your pew. I don't know. Revival will only happen whenever God's people are right with God and right with one another. R.A. Torrey said years ago, he said, revival can happen if just one or two, just a handful, will get thoroughly right with God. Revival can happen. Will you be part of that one or two or three? Will you be part of that 50? May God bring revival to the Fellowship Baptist Church as we get a glimpse of heaven. Our Father, we come to You today. We love You.